and Alabadi, 2017-1044. Mr. Blankenship, good morning.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Keith Blankenship. I represent the appellant, Neos Array, LLC.
Mr. Blankenship, it's unclear to me from your briefing how you expect this court to find Alabadi personally liable as a defendant when you don't present any evidence with his name on it, and the only evidence presented at best are web page screenshots and a single unsigned letter between counsel for Shisha Center. Is there any evidence of record of any actual evidence that Alabadi ever made contact with Virginia?
Well, a physical communication to Virginia from Alabadi, no.
Okay.
The evidence in this case, Your Honor, because of the stage that it is in, comprises the pleadings and the allegations of the complaint. There's quite a bit that we know about.
Do you disagree with Alabadi's sworn statement?
He says
he was a part owner in Shisha Center. He exercised no control over decisions regarding Shisha Center, and then it was dissolved before this litigation ever commenced.
Yes.
Do you disagree with that?
We disagree that he had no control over Shisha Center. And we know quite a bit about...
What evidence is there of decisions he made regarding Shisha Center? Actual evidence in the record. And refer me to the record.
At this point, none, Your Honor. Right now, it is in the allegations.
That's why the district court said it's all California.
Well... Your Honor, we'd like to be able to rest on the allegations that we've made because we know quite a bit.
You said you were going to file an amended complaint, but you never did. Instead, you filed this appeal.
The purpose of filing the complaint was not to enhance the or in any way modify the pleadings versus Alabadi. The purpose of the amended complaint was for service against Dabes, who is no longer a part of the suit. This is for purposes of complying with the Hague Convention, not for any sort of reasons of litigation against Mr. Alabadi.
In the blue brief, you say, Alabadi simply switched his importation of AMY products from Shisha Center entity to his World Smoke Shop Center entity. Maya Saray knows this because in the TTAB litigation against Dabes, Maya Saray has reviewed Dave's shipping documents. Where's that stuff in the record?
It is not in the record at this point, Your Honor, and that is because when you are litigating the TTAB, one of the things that you do is you sign a non-disclosure agreement, a discovery order that prevents you from using the materials from that litigation in other litigation.
Is that present in the record?
The fact that I believe that actually is in the
where's that?
The briefing.
Where's that in the record?
That would be in the brief we filed with the district court, Your Honor, not in the record for this court. So that would have been somewhere an appendix item.
So what you're asking us to do is just take your word to the existence of these documents.
Well, take our word on the factual allegations that we've put into the complaint. And what we have put into the complaint was quite carefully drafted. It is what we believe to be true. It is what research has shown to be true. It is what prior litigations have shown to be true. It is what is objectively supportable in a court. It's just we haven't brought that evidence in, and that's the sort of thing that we'll come
in discovery.
Did you ever
request jurisdictional discovery?
No.
You rely on Silent Drive v. Strong Industries.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you argue, quote, where no jurisdictional discovery has been taken, a court must accept the complaint's allegations as true and resolve all factual disputes in the plaintiff's favorite. That's at page one of your reply brief.
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Silent Drive doesn't use the word must. It says we have to construe pleadings and affidavits in the light most favorable to it.
Yes, Your Honor.
And then, and that's what we're looking for. Resolve all fact disputes. We have to construe. You understand you've misstated a legal premise to the court.
My apologies, Your Honor. What may have happened is that I saw it in another case, and I turned it into a portmanteau of principles. My apologies, Your Honor. But what we're asking this court to do, in a very general sense, is simply remind the district court that there is more at play than simply a stream of commerce analysis, that there's more at play than just a simple Asahi analysis in terms of whether or not an infringer can be brought into a state for litigation. And the district court did that. It retained the factual analysis to purely an analysis of where are the products going, how many products are there, where is Al-Abadi through his entities strictly sending the products. And in the factual declarations, we pled that Al-Abadi is a distributor who is passing these out to retailers who are selling them into Virginia. And Al-Abadi countered that with assertions that, well, we don't sell them in Virginia, but we pled that they are a distributor.
Why don't you sue where there's apparently jurisdiction, California?
Well, that's true that there's certainly jurisdiction in California, but we believe that there's a very strong case to be made that there's jurisdiction in Virginia as well. Al-Abadi and his manufacturer targeted Virginia. And as in the Silent Drive case, there are communications from the defendant to the forum state through its entities. It made a promise with not to sell infringing items anymore, simply folded up the entity that was doing it and then rerouted it to what was at the time the retail store. This case is a case that where a Calder analysis belongs, and there's simply not a lot of jurisprudence from this court about whether or not a Calder analysis can be applied at all. And I think the district court was afraid to step beyond the stream of commerce analysis. Because the manufacturer asked Mias Ray at one point, we would like to distribute your products. Mias Ray said no. So the Amy brand was created. The Amy brand was created to copy the Mia brand. It's not that much different than someone asking to distribute Coke, getting turned down for Coke, creating a can that looks like Coke and something that sounds like Coke, and then finding a distributor, look at what we have, it looks just like Coke, would you like to distribute it? And when the distributor says yes, then that distributor is at fault in the same way that the manufacturer is.
I'm struggling with your reliance on Calder, because Calder itself had significant contact with the forum state. I just don't see contact here of the type that you see in Calder. What sources do you have? I mean, in Calder, you had that the party that was harmed was in California. You had that there were contacts with parties in California. There was a lot more contacts there. What do you have here to support Calder?
The intent. Finding an entity to target, intending to harm that target, and then carrying out a plan to harm the target. Very much in the same way of the Dakota case in the Eighth Circuit, for where they targeted a brand to copy, received knowledge that they probably were copying that brand, kept doing it anyway. Even though, like the owner of the company said at the time, we expected this. We knew this was going to happen. When you ask an entity to distribute their products, they say no, you create a copycat brand. How can you not expect to be sued by that entity? When you tell an entity that you are not going to continue to distribute infringing products, how can you not expect to be held to your obligation when you break it?
But in the Calder case, there was also the fact that I think maybe a large percentage of the distributorship of the magazine was directed to California. There have been contacts with sources for the article in California. It's true that, I guess, Calder is analogous in terms of where the location of the party was that was harmed by the actions. But what do you have besides that?
Well, certainly there, in the same way that in Calder there was distribution of the publication in California, there are certainly sales of the Hookahs in Northern Virginia.
But you have no, I mean, when Judge Brinkema asked you, where is your evidence of sales, you admitted there was no evidence of sales other than the fact that you would think that it would be sold in Virginia given the population in Virginia, right?
Not quite, Your Honor.
Okay.
What we said is we didn't know that Alabadi sold them directly to Virginia. The products are available in Virginia. The AIMEE products are in Virginia. They're in physical locations. They're sold via web retail outlets to Virginia. We do know these things. But what we don't know is whether or not they're coming from directly from Alabadi to Virginia.
Where's that in the record, the actual physical sales in Virginia? Not web offered on the web.
It is in for both the physical sales and the internet sales, appendix 11 to 12 and 142 through 157.
Did you say 11, 12?
Yes.
And what was the other page?
142 to 157. And these are, again, these are the pleadings that are in the complaint.
Mr. Blankenship, you're into your rebuttal time. If you'd like to save it, I'll continue.
I would like to save it, Your Honor. Thank you very much.
Mr. Lord.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court. I think this Court, through its questioning, has clearly identified the problem here. And the problem is there's simply no evidence in the record for appellant to meet its burden and make a prima facie case of personal jurisdiction.
A large premise of Alabadi's defense involves its denial of Maya's allegations that Alabadi or his entities are a national distributor as opposed to being a single smoke shop in California. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You argue in the red brief that Alabadi denied being a national distributor and Maya's arguments fail because there's no evidence in the record that Alabadi sells to any retail stores, let alone anyone in Virginia. Frankly, I just went, other than there's an affidavit in here that doesn't really say much, the other pages to which your friend cites don't mention Virginia or physical sales. But if I go to the next exhibit, Exhibit 5, there is a statement on page 161 from the business, and this is the website, a website for the Shisha Center. We are a wholesale warehouse for all your hookah and tobacco needs. All proper business licenses are needed for customer service. Does that imply something outside the state of California?
Well, 2 points, Your Honor. That relates to Shisha Center, Inc. Shisha Center, Inc. is not a party to this action. The party to this action is Alabadi. Maya had identified Alabadi as the defendant and put DBA, Roll Smoke Shop, and DBA Shisha Center. We controverted that allegation in the Alabadi Declaration at Appendix.
Who dissolved the Shisha Company?
Your Honor, Shisha Center, Inc. is not my client, so I don't know all the details about Shisha Center, Inc. So I don't know who dissolved it, but I know it is dissolved, Your Honor. And to my original point about Shisha Center, Inc., they're not a party to this action. And we controverted Shisha Center being a party. They're not a DBA, Your Honor. So the question is whether Alabadi or his company, which he owns, Roll Smoke Shop, be targeted Virginia. And there's really no evidence in the record, as this court has noted. No invoices, no sales, no employees, no officers. There's really no presence. And that's why Judge Brinkema said at Appendix 195, given the record in this case, if the court were to find jurisdiction, it would basically, I think, just about evaporate any kind of criteria for personal jurisdiction. So that's really the point here, Your Honor. There is no evidence. And to the judge's question earlier about why isn't this suit filed in California, we filed a DJ in California. We filed a DJ in California, which is our state. That's where this case belongs, Your Honor. And we believe it's going to proceed there. Counsel has made statements both in his brief and today regarding assertions that have no support in the record. For example, counsel stated today that Al-Abadi targeted Virginia. There's no evidence that Al-Abadi targeted Virginia. Al-Abadi is based in California. They have to come forward and show that he shooting from California and aiming towards Virginia, and there's no evidence of that, Your Honor. So given the facts here, given the paltry record, Your Honor, we cited a bunch of cases, the McIntyre case, there's the AFTG case where courts have found no jurisdiction with contacts far greater than the case here. This court should affirm the judgment below. So unless the court has other questions, I submit the brief.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Blankenship has some rebuttal time.
Mr. Blankenship, you're relying, you cited us too, certain pages in the record, including an affidavit of Mr. Badawi. And his mention of Virginia basically says that Virginia has a substantial Arab American population.
Yes, Your Honor.
And that's it.
Well, it in the same way that there are target markets for specific items, this is a very big market for hookah sales, in the same way that there's hookahs do not have uniform national popularity. Hookahs are the sort of product that are available in some markets. They're not quite as hot in central Mississippi as they are in Dearborn and Detroit, Michigan. When you sell hookahs, you are selling to five markets. And that's what Mr. Dowdy, the president of MSRA, is testifying to, is that you can't not sell hookahs.
Where did you testify to that?
I believe that's the very back of his declaration, Your Honor. And
I read his speculation. I didn't find any underlying factual support for it.
Well, the underlying factual support, Your Honor, is his experience as the owner and proprietor of MSRA LLC. And while we're discussing where is evidence, physical location evidence is Appendix 12, Paragraph 24, Internet sales, Appendix 11, Paragraph 23. These are allegations in the complaint. We've been to the stores. We've seen the hookahs. We know where they are. But we think the opposing counsel was quite wrong when he's saying that nobody is shooting anything into Virginia. In the same way in Silent Drive, where someone shot an infringement cease and desist letter, a demand letter, out from the state of the declaratory judgment. Where it went into the state of the declaratory judgment plaintiff. In the same way, when you reach into Virginia and tell a Virginia entity, we're going to stop distributing hookahs, you're setting off a chain of events in the state of Virginia that's basically getting you off the hook from litigation. And that's what Al-Abadi intended to do here. He intended to tell a Virginia entity, don't sue us. We're not doing it anymore. Take litigation resources, use them elsewhere. And that's what Miasere did. And that's one of the ways that he's purposely availed himself of the Virginia Forum. We were asking this court just use the same sort of rationale that it applies to demand letters, to responses to demand letters. And I think the analogy is appropriate, if not more so, because there's a response to a demand letter. There's the affirmation, we will stop. And this certainly, and when you never intend to stop, and this is a Calder analysis, and when you do not stop, we would suggest that this is a Burger King analysis. And I think that's it, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.
Thank you.